Sarah and I, my wife, we just returned from a sabbatical, and we do appreciate that. Thank you again very much. But let me tell you about me on sabbatical. My son laughs because I said we put the bad in sabbatical. It was good. We appreciate it. But while on sabbatical, I don't know where we were. We were staying somewhere, and one evening, Sarah started a song on YouTube. And my first thought is it began, and it began slowly. I said, this sounds like it's going to be another one of those lame, boring songs that drones on and on. I like the songs we used to sing better. And the Lord immediately spoke to me. Phil, you aren't open to the new as you need to be. He said, remember, I'm the God of new things. And then he brought to my mind several scriptures, and then he reminded me of something that he showed me several years ago. And of course, I'm repenting. If I would have had sackcloth and ashes, I'd have been in it, but... Okay, Lord, but now, see, the thing is, you know, it's neat the way when God comes and just brings things to your mind, he can say more in 60 seconds, and he did all this in less than 60 seconds. Guess what? I'm going to share what he shared with me, with you, but it's going to take longer than 60 seconds because I'm not God. I can't do that in you, you know, like he did in me. So we're gonna go through this. None of this will, for most of you, it's not going to be new as such, but hopefully it will be a renewing and a recommitment. You remember Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian. He was a Syrian general. He was over the armies of the nation of Syria back in ancient times, and he had leprosy. Anyway, word got out that there was a prophet in Israel that God was working healing miracles through. So he ends up at the prophet Elisha's doorstep. And here's how that went. So Naaman went, in 2 Kings 5, Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought. Now, I want to pick on us just a little bit, because I hopefully to pick something out of your brain and mine. We all have thoughts, and if anybody challenges our reasoning, our thinking, we get angry, we get upset. Those fight, what do you mean? You know, I have thoughts, therefore I am. You should think about that, because you need to remember who is the great I am. And when you say, I have thoughts, therefore I am, you're saying, my thoughts are my God. And because I thought it, it has to be so. Because I thought it, I believe it. And yet we never really truly analyze and examine our own heart and thinking. Because how many of you know that your stinking thinking has gotten you in trouble? I won't ask you how many of you end up in jail over it, or... ended up so beat up that you were in the hospital for a week, or, you know, and that's just a husband, you know, your husband, your wife, you said something you shouldn't have, and now he's off work, and then you realize, where am I going to get the extra money now? He's off work, you know. Got to go spending. Anyway, the point is, we think, and because we think, we won't even challenge our own thinking a lot of the time. We just think, well, because I thought it, it's got to be so. And I'm here to tell you that is so wrong. But this is what's happened to Naaman. Let me ask you a question. What does Naaman want and need? Healing. So what's the problem, dude? Your problem is you thought. And his thinking is about to cause him to miss his help, his miracle from God. Because I thought. And now he's mad. And he's going away. He's leaving. He's ticked off. I thought. Amy went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me. I'm a general. And stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. And wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Now, before we pick on Naaman too much, let's just let's bring it back to me and you, you know, because I'm no better. People are no different. You know, just because you got an iPhone doesn't mean that you're any different than people that lived 3,000 years ago. Okay? People are people and always have been. Naaman's got some stinking thinking going on here. And he has this expectation of how he will receive healing from God. You got to do it this way. I have pastored for, well, since my early youth pastor days in Tulsa. You know, we're pushing 45 years. And I have counseled young and old a lot. And I can't tell you how many people I've come across that are mad at God. Why? Because he didn't do what they wanted him to do the way they wanted him to do it. And I'm sorry. Could I just ask you a question? For those of you who came to faith in Jesus Christ and you accepted him as Lord and Savior and you're born again, you didn't do that on your terms. You come to God, you come to God on his terms. This is the provision he's made. It's like when mama says, come eat. You're eating what she has on the table, right? Well, I didn't want that. Too bad, Buster, sit down and eat. I don't know about you, that's what my mom always told me. If you're hungry and you want to eat, this is what we're having. Okay? And so he's got this thing built up in his mind how this is going to happen. And when it doesn't go down like he wants it to, he's so mad. And this is what, and we're going to read that actually he's going to go off in a rage. I mean, we're talking really ticked off here. And we do our dumbest things when we're angry and then that kind of a rage. We don't think, I mean, we weren't thinking right before, but now stinking thinking has got even stupider. Your thoughts are not your God. They're just thoughts. And sometimes they're as ignorant as they can be. And so far off track. They will lead you to miss the point. What's the point? You want to be healed. I don't care how God does it. I've seen enough in my lifetime to say, God, I don't care how you do it. I'm just glad you're going to do it. Amen. You want me to do this? Okay, fine. I'll do this. You want me to go here and do that? Yeah. Because the bottom line is, I want what God is bringing to my life. But it's not on my terms. It will be on his terms. And there's a reason for that too, but let's go on. He goes, I thought all this stuff. Verse 12, he says, are not Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters in Israel? That might even be true. Who cares? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? And so he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman wasn't open to anything new. He wasn't open to anything different to his own thinking that was outside of his thinking. He had his expectations, and if this is going to happen, if you're going to do this, this is the way it's going to happen. But listen to me. If he wants to receive from God, he must change. Not God. Not other people. No. Verse 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, something that appealed to your pride, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" Now, it's important that we slow down here just a little bit in light of what's about to happen. Because just because the servant or servants who came to talk some sense into their superior, there's a change that happens in Naaman. More than just, "Oh, all right, I suppose. I don't think it's going to work, but all right, just to show you guys, I'll go do this." No. Something changes, and I'll show you, because the text clearly says it, but we just read it as narrative, and sometimes then we miss the point. It says, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. Notice this. As the man of God told him. He didn't do it because of the logic of the servants. That was the catalyst that moved him to go in faith and do it according to what the prophet of God, the word of the Lord from the prophet, gave him. You see that? As the man of God told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. This morning, just for a moment, if I could stand in the place of that servant or servants and invite you to think through some things, because I get it. You know, we're Americans. We're consumers. Consumers are king. And if I don't like the way this restaurant serves this, I'll go somewhere else. If they treat me bad over here, I'll go over there, you know. I get to choose. I get to dictate. And there's nothing wrong with that to a degree, but when you let that invade your thinking about God, and you let you as consumer, as king, determine how interaction with God will take place, you do it to your own hurt. You do it to your own hurt. And so we've got to change the way that we think. This is why the scripture tells us we've got to renew our minds. Change, take out stinking thinking and replace it with scripture. I was a youth pastor for 5 years in Tulsa, and I debated whether or not I wanted to share this. One of the girls who was part of the worship team, the youth worship team, while I was there, she graduated and went off to college, left in August. She's on campus for a month, and she wrote me a letter. "Pastor, why did she write you a letter? Why didn't she text or email?" Because there wasn't any such thing back in the early 80s. Just saying. So she wrote a letter. And being a freshman girl on campus, she was getting a lot of pressure from a lot of guys for you know what. And she was struggling in her faith. And so she wrote me, and the gist of her letter went like this. "Pastor Phil, I want to know what you think about all of this that's going on in my life right now. And I don't want to know what Phil the youth pastor would do. I want to know what Phil the person would do." I prayed because I didn't want to sound flippant. I didn't want to sound super spiritual and all that kind of stuff. And I wrote her back and I said, outside of this book, outside of Holy Scriptures, my thinking is not trustworthy. I can't rely on it. It can't be the guidelines for what I would do. I have to say, okay, what does the Word say about this? Go find what Scripture has to say about any given thing in life. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I choose to believe in spite of how I feel. I got news for you. Your feelings are not God. Your feelings are not your Lord. Your feelings, even more so than your thinking, will betray you. And all that this girl was feeling. You see, she'll have guys come tell her, oh, you're so wonderful. You're the sun, the moon, the stars. I could see myself marrying you. I want to be with you forever. Blah, 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 blah. But girls want to be romanced. That's who they want to be in their man's life. I get it. But again, your own thinking, your own feelings will betray you. Your feelings, your thinking, not your God. And when you bow before them, there are consequences. Not because God's going to slap you down. It's just that you're serving the wrong God. And there is no other God like our God, who is loving and generous and kind and forgiving, yes. No other God. They deceive you. But again, it's easy to coast along in our default mode as American consumers when it comes to church and our life of walking with Jesus. Well, you know, this church is just not like other churches that I liked. You know, the music was better. I like the songs they sing at the other church. I like the songs they sang back when I was a kid. The preaching, the teaching's not the same, you know. But just, it goes on and on and on. And we're just, can I just be plain? We're whining. We're whining. It can be 100 things that we think were previously better or are better somewhere else. But maybe this morning, our thinking, our expectations, maybe we ought to say, they're from you, Lord. My expectation is in you and from you. Just to remind you, Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Okay, God's people, because they agreed to follow the Lord, they made a covenant, okay? And then they broke it. They broke faith with God. Served other gods. God said, you keep doing this, these other gods are going to end up you being hauled off into slavery in another country. Long story short, they all were. They end up, what's left of them, end up in Babylon. God sets them free and brings them back. Well, Solomon's temple, if you know anything about Solomon's temple, I mean, it was ornate, it was huge, it was one of the wonders of the world. It's gone. It's totally gone. So they're going to build another temple. In Ezra chapter 3, it says, all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. Now, to get the end of the story, you have to kind of know the chronology here. That's in the book of Ezra, but Haggai was a prophet at the same time. So we pick up the story in the book of Haggai because he's going to prophesy the word of the Lord to all of these people. And he says this, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former, its past glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. Everybody, he says the Lord, and work, build this place. He says, for I am with you. Okay, the Lord's with us. Great. No. Let's look at this context. I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself and get to the point because I'm quickly running out of time. It's so easy to romance and to glorify some experience with the Lord at a particular place, a church, even at men's encounter, women's encounter, and think, oh, that place is holy, and if I could just get back to there. It is that. Church today isn't like what it used to be, like not while I was growing up. I mean, the songs they sing are so dumb and stupid. What happened to all the great hymns? Whatever it is. I want you to notice what the Lord says. He says, for I am with you now in this work, in this building, in establishing this. Do you understand? It's not about Solomon's temple or this smaller temple. It's about the Lord and His presence. That's all that counts. You understand? It doesn't matter if I like a song or if you like, oh, we're singing that song. I hate that song. Why are they singing that song again? I can't stand it. And we stand there, what do? We get mad. And you're missing your opportunity because it's not about the container. It's about Jesus. And you can find Jesus in what we sing. You can find Jesus in this place. Because you know what? You don't need Jesus from yesteryear. You need Jesus today. And what He's doing today. Manna, you try to hang on to manna. What happens to the bread that God gave him? Bread worms and stinks. Oh, I love that fragrance. No, there's something wrong with your nostrils. You've so convinced yourself with your feelings and thinkings that this smells good. And it doesn't. It stinks. It's not that God didn't do something then. It sustained you then. But it was for then. It's not for now. God is doing a new thing today. Well, let's just see what Haggai says. He says, I'm with you. That's the most important thing. Get your eyes off the structure, the container, the song, the framework. It's me that you need. He says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Why would he have to tell them, don't be afraid? Because they're afraid of the new. We're more afraid of new things than we think. We're afraid of the unexpected, the different than it used to be. How can God move in this mess? He can and He will. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. I'm going to shake everything, heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. Things aren't going to remain the same. No matter how much you like it, it's not going to remain the same. He says, I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Who is the desire of all nations? Jesus. And I will fill I, he says. God says, you're looking at this place that this foundation is being laid and realize how inadequate it is compared to Solomon's temple. He says, I will fill this temple. with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. Whoa. Well, how can that be? It's not as big. It's not as ornate. Because it's not about big and ornate and so forth. It's about the Lord. Are you looking for the Lord in the middle of the lame song you don't like? Because if you just make that little turn right there in your own heart and head, and by faith seek you, Lord, this is not my cup of tea. This tune's not my favorite. But you know what? I know you're in there. And I'm looking for you. And I want you to come and speak to me in the midst of this worship time. Okay? He says, and in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord. Look to find Jesus. Jesus describes the problem. I'm going to have to end with this concept, okay? Luke chapter 5. I want you to notice this, okay? Jesus says, okay, can we trust the words of Jesus? Okay, I'm with him. He says, and no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For he says, the one doing the drinking, he says, the old is better. Notice carefully now, Jesus did not say the old is better. He didn't say the new is better either. It's just old and new. It doesn't matter. It's about me. Whether it's the old thing or the new thing. Old things aren't bad. You know? She said, you've got to build upon those things. Listen, he's saying each in its own time. Those who are truly walking with Jesus will not get stuck back there somewhere like in 1982 with Uncle Rico. I think. Yeah, we'd have won state for sure. Rather, they will find Jesus does new things that build upon the old things. Okay, I'm not done, but I'm done.